But so good to see you here early this Sunday morning. As Mickey said, some of you may want to double dip today because the next service is going to be special indeed. But I do have a word for you. And so I guess I'll just unload two services worth on this group this morning. But the Lord really laid on my heart to share this message today. So I know it's for someone in this early service. And hopefully all of us will be challenged and encouraged by it. I want to talk to you about living in the joy of the Lord. Living in the joy of the Lord. Now, sometimes, if you are just kind of observing professing Christian people, you may draw the conclusion that's not a happy bunch of folks. Some people look like they've been bathing in pickle juice and, you know, life is just awful and things are going miserably in their world. Now, yes, Christians do have troubles, struggles, and trials. And there's a difference between living with the joy of the Lord and being happy all the time. Happiness is usually determined by what's happening around you. But the joy of which I'll preach this morning is something that's produced within you. And in New Testament terms, it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you may not necessarily be able to smile about everything that happens, but nothing has to steal your joy. Do you know that Paul wrote concerning even loss of our loved ones, we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. We have the capacity to deal with loss in a different way than the world does. Because we have a Savior whose Spirit indwells us, who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. We have the additional promise that when our heart's broken, He draws even nearer to us. He is the healer of broken hearts. So whenever I'm preaching a funeral service, ministering to people in time of loss, this is so important for us to remember, the unseen encourager that's always with us, even when we are alone. Now, we're going to look at a scripture this morning. There's tons of scripture in the Bible about being joyful. And I have one on my heart. It's out of Psalm 16. I love Psalm 16. And one reason I so loved Psalm 16 was at a very crucial point in our ministry when we were having the parsonage bulldozed down that we were living in so we could enter in a building program into church. And we were looking for land to build a house. And I found the place where we live now to build a house. But I just needed a word from the Lord about whether this was the property or not. And it was Psalm 16 that the Lord spoke to me. And then he confirmed it strongly. I won't get into all the story, but in Psalm 16, that passage where he maintains or watches over my lot. He's called my lines to fall in pleasant places. And it was such a confirming word, and that's just a piece of that story. But as you read on down through Psalm 16, as is the case in what we call the Messianic Psalms, that is, those psalms where the psalmist is writing or releasing a song and the Spirit of God comes upon him. And in that moment, he's thinking, he's talking about something here and now, but by the Spirit, he is prophesying of something to come. And so in Psalm 16, David gets into that part where he says, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead of the Messiah. And then he steps right into this verse in Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's our anchor text for this message. And this is the first statement I want to share with you out of this passage we've just read. Joy flows from God's presence. Joy flows from God's presence. Notice what that says. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now that tells me that if you were to take a trip to the throne room and you could actually be there and experience it, you're going to be rolled over by joy and pleasures forevermore. In other words, that is the atmosphere that surrounds our Father God, Jehovah God, an atmosphere of joy. And that's convicting, because sometimes you may walk into our homes and you don't find that atmosphere. Well, it could be even in the church. You might not sense that atmosphere, but if you are in heaven around the throne room in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Now, Jesus came, and He was holy God and holy or totally man as well, correct? So if you're around Jesus, guess what? I don't believe there's ever been a human being who lived in a degree of joy greater than Jesus. And sometimes we think He's always that solemn, somber, steely-eyed, serious. Oh, He is serious. And yes, He could be those other things. But He had the Spirit without measure. That means His fruit tree was full of love, joy, peace, and all the rest of the fruit, right? So the disciples were able to experience the fullness of joy manifesting from the life of Christ. And now the Spirit that indwelled Jesus when He walked the earth lives in you. You see, not only is God's presence with you, as it was with David, but now in New Testament terms, for each and every one of us, God's presence is within us. He's got us covered. Jesus taught this in John chapter 15, the night before He was crucified. He talked about, you abide in Me, and I'll abide in you. That commingling, if you will, that common union, that communion, that union that we would have with Christ. And after He died, was buried, was raised from the dead, appeared for 40 days on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers, and at that moment, the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus now entered into the lives of the believing ones. Now, the 11 that was with Him right after His resurrection, He had already breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. But the church was birthed. The Holy Spirit began to indwell believers on the day of Pentecost. And we know the Bible teaches us that's an evidence that we belong to Him, because His Spirit indwells us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we belong to Him. That's how you know you're saved. His Holy Spirit will bear witness with you that you are a child of God. So joy flows from God's presence. We can live in the joy of the Lord because this Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He's the one who produces joy in and through us if we will submit ourselves, if we will be led by Him. When we're at those cave-in points, by His grace, we rise up instead. When we're in those weak points and we can't, His Holy Spirit releases grace, and we can in Christ. We can do all things. We are strengthened through our union with Christ. You are not alone. So we don't get an excuse slip not to be joyful, because the Holy Spirit, God's presence within us, is where joy comes from, the kind of joy that's being spoken of here. And by the way, in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, if you'll notice there, it says, is fullness of joy. That word joy there, talking about delight, gladness, delights, joy. In the Hebrew form of that word there, it's plural. So it's not just a certain kind of joy. There's all kinds of ways that the joy of the Lord might express itself. And even in natural terms, people can be joyful, we get happy, and we can dance, we get happy, we can shout, we can celebrate, we can laugh, we can chuckle. You know, all those things can be outward manifestations. But don't you think if we are people indwelt with the Spirit of God, there ought to be some times we've got a smile on our face? There ought to be some times when we're outwardly exhibiting some evidences that there's some joy in here. What's in the well comes up in the bucket, right? So let's be aware of that. And if we're not, if maybe you're here this morning and you think, well, joy is the last thing on, oh my goodness, preacher's preaching on joy again. Why does he want to preach about that? Well, it might just be for you, right? Some people don't like other people being happy and joyful. They're rather content to live with their spite and their conflict and their sadness and their grumpiness and their complaining and their murmuring. But we're called to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul said, let me say it again, rejoice. By the way, that is not in the tense that implies a suggestion. That's in a tense that implies imperative command. So, be joyful. And it needs to be from the heart. We all know how. We know that struggle between that old man and that new man, don't we? Our old woman and new woman here. Let me be balanced. You know that struggle that sometimes because you're trying to be good and you're trying to be a good Christian, on the inside you might be thinking, I'd like to give you a cold slap right now. But instead you're like, yeah. But win the war, keep smiling, and don't do that. But where we want to get is where our love is so deep that regardless of what is coming our way, what's coming up is joy. I haven't arrived at that place yet. Now, I've had a few times along the way, I think I got a pretty good grade at that. And I've had some times that I flunked. But we're called to live that way because Jesus lived that way. Doesn't mean he couldn't be stern, firm, truthful, and corrective, but his heart was always in a place that it could stand the righteous and holy test of Father God. So that's the first statement I want to make about Psalm 16:11. Joy flows from God's presence. Now, second statement. Choose joy when... That should say, when your negativity arises. Pastor, you need to check your spelling. Choose joy when your negativity arises. We have to learn to recognize I'm going negative here and identify that and learn to stop it. Do a Barney Fife on it. Nip it in the bud, right? Just stop it right there. Choose joy. Now, notice I'm saying choose. Why? Because it really is a choice. Holy Spirit, he's on duty. Holy Spirit always is always will do what's righteous and holy and pure, even perfect, because he is. So he is available to help us exhibit Christ even in extreme circumstances. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it is a collective of stories that chronicles for us what people who were burned at the stake for the sake of Christ, who were beheaded for the sake of Christ, who were fed to the lions for the sake of Christ, they died as martyrs. It's stories of how they died as martyrs, what they said and what they did. And it is challenging and it is convicting that among the flames that began to burn them up, they could give praise to God. Jesus even told James and John, who along with their mama asked for seats on the right and left side of Jesus, and Jesus said, do you know what you're asking? Do you know the cup Are you able to drink from the cup I'm going to drink from? Are you going to be able to endure the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? He was talking about the cup of suffering and the baptism of the agony and the pain and persecution that he would endure at the cross. And they said, we are able, we are able. And they flushed like a covey of quail. Except for John, who was younger. And Jesus told them, said, you will drink from the cup, and you will be baptized with the baptism. And James was the first martyr of the early church. He was beheaded. And John, later in life, was exiled to Patmos. And some historians tell us that he survived being boiled in a cauldron of oil and was exiled. They had to endure that. So joy can be chosen by us so that we can exhibit Christ. And we'll see in a moment that we need to choose that, or we won't have the strength to face the things we have to face in this life at times. Now, notice that the first part of verse 11 there says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Here's the image here. It's like the psalmist sees himself coming before the presence of the Lord. And because he's in the presence of the Lord, he begins to get revelation. You will show me the path of life. That Hebrew term, show me, literally means you will make known to me. It is a revelatory idea that when we position ourselves before the presence of the Lord, that revelation will often come to tell us, this is the way, walk in it. This is what you need to do. You need to, over here, and now you need to move in this way. He will guide us in the path of life. He knows what our path is to look like, and he will help us navigate through the decisions in our life. But we're going to miss that if we don't choose joy, if we don't choose to be in the presence of God, surrounded by him in an atmosphere of joy. Maybe it would help us in our prayer lives if we could reframe the idea of going to the Lord in prayer. Well, I'm going to a joy meeting. I think I'm going to go get me some joy. I'm going to go spend some time with Jesus because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And think of it that way. There's things you do in your life that when you know you're about to go do it, you get excited. You might all prep up and get everything in order and you're thinking about it, whatever it may be. And you get excited about it. If we could envision going into the presence of the Lord and this atmosphere of joy and pleasures forevermore, it might be a strong intrinsic motivation for us to up our prayer life, our prayer time with Jesus. Choose joy when negativity arises, because it'll come. It's like the couple in their marriage, and they just fought like cats and dogs all the time. And one day, he's just thinking, he finally says, well, I tell you what, rather than live in all this strife all the time, well, I'd be better off if I just died. And she said, well, that'd be fine with me. I'd dance on your grave. He looks at her and he says, well, that'd be fine with me because I'm going to be buried at sea. So they just perpetuated the conflict. You know, our marriage doesn't work when it's that way. But your relationship with Jesus, it should never be that way, because when you're with him, you're in an atmosphere of joy. Now, you may bring something in there that's not aligning, but guess what happens? When we walk in the light, even as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We get it. He aligns our front end, right? So we're moving in the right directions. And sometimes he has to heat up our rear end to get us to do that. But he's good at doing that, right? Choose joy when your negativity arises. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is joy is the spiritual fuel for your journey. He said, you will show me the path of life. That's your journey. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures. How long? Forevermore. Spending time in the Lord's presence. Nehemiah said, look at Nehemiah 8:10 there. This is when they were in a rebuilding of the temple walls that had been, the city walls that had been broken down. And they're rebuilding. And Nehemiah declares them, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When there's something, tip of the morning, right here. Say in your work, your job, there's just something you always dread doing it. You just hate when you have to do that thing. Or there may be somebody that you spend time with that you have to, and you think, well, I'm dreading this. Let me tell you something. If you can reframe that and say, you know what, Jesus is with me, and I'm not going to dread this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to have a good day. Lord, I'm going to look for ways to be a blessing in this situation. I'm going to look for how you're using this to make me more like you. I'm going to partner with you in this situation, Lord. Let's get with it. Let's do it. It's amazing what begins to happen if you get your heart in a line with the Word and then begin to speak that out your mouth, sometimes just preaching to yourself. You know, like grab yourself by the nape of the neck and bring yourself in a line. This, I'm feeling one way, but I know I shouldn't feel this way. I'm going to choose God's way, and you prophesy yourself, and you preach yourself into alignment. And it's amazing how even your emotions and your feelings will eventually, they'll finally line up and get where they need to be. So that you are doing what you're supposed to do with a right heart in the right way, and you can say the right things in the right way. Joy is the spiritual fuel for your journey. And we have the assurance this is forevermore. Forevermore. Whatever level of joy you may enjoy in your Christian life down here, I'm telling you there's a major upgrade coming for every single one of us. The joy is your spiritual fuel for your journey. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And one thing you can do here is turn some of these scriptures into decrees over your life. The joy of the Lord's my strength today. Well, the joy of the Lord's upon me for this meeting ahead of me. Lord, I thank you that I'm in your presence. You are with me. And I just pray that when I walk into the room today, that I would release the joy of the Lord. That your joy, your peace, your love would permeate my life. And sometimes we just need that. We just need that. Like, hey, I'm going to get up out of this vat of pickle juice, and I'm going to get my heart where it needs to be, and I'm going to use my voice to glorify God. And I'm going to say no to this complaining spirit that keeps wanting to interrupt me and use my mouth to broadcast its message. Because there really is a warfare over who is going to influence what we say and how we view our life. You can go around walking every day pointing out all the faults and everything that's wrong. You will be a busy person. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to see a bunch of stuff that's not right. But we need the eyes of Jesus. He could be in the middle of all that stuff, and all of a sudden people that were doing all that stuff, they wanted to adjust to him and hear what he had to say. E.F. Hutton doesn't have the corner on that. Jesus got the patent on that. Because the words he spoke, they were spirit and they were life. And that's our model. We want to be people who release life and so forth. So, the joy of the Lord is your strength, your spiritual fuel. Now, I want to give you just some application steps here before I finish this up this morning. And I want to share with you, first of all, start your day in His presence. maybe before you pick up your smartphone, maybe before you check the news, maybe before you, listen to a podcast or all that stuff, get in God's presence. Early will I seek you. I would encourage you when you're laying in bed and you wake up, right then. This morning when I woke up, I looked up the ceiling and I said, "Good morning, Lord. Welcome, Holy Spirit." Now, I'm not saying I do that every morning, but I try to remember to make that one of the first things that I do. If you wake up during the night, talk to the Lord when you're going back and forth to the bathroom. Watch where you're walking. But, He's there with you always. Some of the things you may need more than anything to hear from the Lord, He may just speak to you in the middle of the night. He may give it to you through a dream. And so we have to stay tuned in. Now, our younger people may not can relate to what I'm about to say, but I know in my younger days, and there's still some vehicles that may do this, but like have AM radio. Then eventually they had AM and FM radio. But you had a dial, right? You remember that? And you had to turn the dial, and particularly on AM stations, then you'd hear somebody's voice, and you'd have to keep tweaking it. Finally, you get dialed in, you could hear what they're saying. Now it's all digitized, and it just, shoots a signal, and it locks in. It's a lot easier. But our Christian lives are a lot like that first way. We don't stay dialed in. There's a lot of static that interferes with us hearing. And so sometimes it's in the middle of the night when those 300 things that you've got to do is not on your mind, and all the noise is blaring, or the TVs are on, and the radios are playing, and the kids are hollering, and dogs barking in the middle of the night when it's still and when it's quiet. That may be the very moment that you hear the voice of the Lord. So start your morning in the presence of the Lord, and even in the night season, be tuned in to what the Lord might say to you. Another thing, catch and correct negative thoughts before they take root. Sometimes it's in the middle of when we're saying something that we realize, okay, I need to reel this back. Lord, cleanse me, forgive me. And so forth. Sometimes in our marriages, sweetheart, I shouldn't have said what I just said. Please forgive me. That was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. Well, she knows I love her. Ask for forgiveness. Don't presume on her grace or his grace. Watch out. I might get preaching here in a minute. Now, the last thing is look for, this is a real practical thing. I encourage you and I challenge you when you leave here today, look for one opportunity each and every day to bring joy to someone else's life. And sometimes that's the simplest thing in the world, a word of encouragement. Guys, flowers and chocolate still works a lot of time. Vacuuming and mopping's even better than that. But you can do things to bring joy into the life of someone else. It may be your spouse. It may be a friend. It may be a total stranger. Be a carrier of the joy of the Lord. And the way to ensure that is to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Seek Him early. Be listening in the night season. And be alert all through the days. Paying attention to what's coming in. And don't let the wrong things take root. And intentionally let the right things go out and bless someone else's life. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I appreciate you coming out early on this Lord's Day. God's blessings upon you. And if you have need of prayer, after the amen is said, I'll be here and the other prayer team members, they'll come on up right now. We'll be available. We'll be happy to pray with you. But would you bow your heads for just a moment? all across the room. I'm about to pray a prayer over us. But if the Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe you've been challenged, or it's like, you know, I want to be more joyful. I've had areas where I'm struggling. Lord, help me. No one's looking. Just slip up your hand a moment. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. I've got my hand up too. God bless you. Father God, right now, I ask for each of us in this room, and especially for those whose hands are raised. Lord, in raising our hands, we're saying, help me, Lord Jesus. I receive your grace. I open my heart. Holy Spirit, help me to manifest the joy of the Lord. Help me to access the joy of the Lord so that I can be stronger and choose the right path in life to hear what the Father is saying. Lord, for those who find themselves maybe more often in difficult situations because of their circumstances right now, would there be special grace you could pour out on them today? That they would just know and be reminded that God is with me. He is helping me. So that they could renew their mind, reframe their thoughts, and begin to disperse the joy of the Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you choose to reveal yourself to us and make known to us those things that we need. Thank you that you're our constant. Anytime we come into your presence, there's joy and there's pleasure. Always a place we can go to and enjoy being there. And that's in your presence, Lord. Forgive us for times we've stayed away too long. Forgive us for times we haven't ran there because of how much we needed it. Help us, Holy Spirit, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning for being here. This altar's open if you need prayer. I know some of you may want to hang around for the next service as well. God bless you. Have a great day. Now go out and change the world. Amen.